Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with our in-depth look at the Praise Psalm of David as we pick up in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 22. And now, here is Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
God said, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." David had tremendous respect for Saul because he had been anointed the king of Israel. And even though Saul had failed miserably, yet David wouldn't lay a hand on him. He wouldn't touch him. Because David respected the command of the Lord that said, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm." Having been anointed of God for a ministry, when God's anointing is on that ministry and upon that person's life, it is best that you don't touch them. God will deal with them if they are in the wrong. But for you to go around and try to undercut or undermine places you in a very precarious place and position. You're going against what God said. "Touch not mine anointed, do my prophet no harm." And so God was watching over him and was protecting him. Now they are ordered to sing unto the Lord, all the earth. And then that's a repetition of actually verse 9, sing unto him, sing psalms. But then he adds, "Show forth from day to day his salvation." Your life should be a witness. Showing forth is just living your life in fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, and that becomes a witness before the world around you every day. Paul the Apostle said, "You are my living epistles, known and read of all men." I don't need letters of commendation. I don't need reference letters. You are my reference letters, your lives in Christ, your living epistles, and known and read of all men. So you show forth his salvation day by day. In the life that you live in fellowship with Jesus Christ, it has that effect of being a witness to those around you. But more than just showing by my life, I am to declare his glory among the heathen. And as we pointed out, the moment we mention heathen, don't picture in your mind some place in the jungles of Borneo. Declare his glory among the heathen and his marvelous works among the nations, among all nations. Oh, that people would know the glorious, marvelous works of God. It's our obligation and duty to declare them. "For great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be reverenced above all gods. For all of the gods of the people are idols, but Jehovah made the heavens." The big difference. Ours is a true and living God. He is the creator, and to be distinguished from all other gods. "Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place." Now we get back to the commands. "Give unto the Lord, ye families of the people, give unto the Lord glory." Giving glory to God by your praises. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Your strength, your life. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due his name. Again, the name, which is Jehovah, or to us, it is Jesus, Jehovah Shua. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due his marvelous name. Bring an offering, come before him, and then worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Oh, to lift up our hearts in praise unto God. Pure lips, pure hearts, worshiping him in the beauty of holiness, realizing what a holy, righteous, awesome God we have. Reverence him, all the earth, for the world will be stable because he will, that it will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord, or more literally, Jehovah reigneth, or Jesus reigns. And we do sing, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth her successive journeys run. But he reigns now, where? In my heart, in my life. How important that Jesus reign in your heart. Jesus reigns. Let the sea roar, the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. And then shall the trees of the wood sing in the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. And so the glorious prophecy, the Lord is coming. Jehovah is coming to judge the earth. And who is coming to judge the earth? From the New Testament, it's Jesus who is coming. So hear Jehovah, the presence of Jehovah, because he comes to judge the earth. And of course, that's the first order of business for Jesus when he comes again. Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together. Deliver us from the heathen. These are the requests that you're to make now. Save us. Gather us together. Deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name. What is his holy name? Jesus. And glory in thy praise. Blessed be Jehovah, the God of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and they praised the Lord. Glory, glory. Oh, what a time that must have been. Time of great spiritual revival in the nation, and thus a time of tremendous strength for the nation. So he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the Ark continually as every day's work required. So he left them there daily to continue ministering before the Lord. And Obed-Edom, whose house the ark had been in, was there with their brethren, 68 of them, and Zadok the priest and his brethren before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place, which was at Gibeon. So Zadok had his ministry up at the tabernacle and the places of sacrifice at Gibeon, and there they offered the burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering continually, morning and evening, to do according to all that was written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. And with them was Heman and Jeduthun, and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. And there with the trumpets, the cymbals, those that should make a sound, and the musical instruments of God, the sons of Jeduthun were the porters, the ones that carried. And all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. And so, one of those special, special moments, God's presence manifested, God's power working in the hearts of the people, and this beautiful, glorious response unto the Lord and to the work of the Lord. Now it came to pass as David sat in his house, David said to Nathan the prophet, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under curtains. When David became king, he desired to center the nation again upon its worship of the Lord. During the reign of Saul, there wasn't too much attention paid to the Ark of the Covenant, with the exception that they tried to take it into battle against the Philistines, thinking that there would be some kind of magical power that would give them victory over the Philistines, but instead the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. It became a curse unto them, and so they finally sent it back. But it was just sort of set aside in the area of Kirjath-Jearim. But now, as David has been crowned king over all of Israel, coming to Jerusalem to establish there the throne, he, as one of the first priorities, wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem so that they could sort of center again the minds and the hearts of the people upon the Lord. During the wilderness wanderings, the Ark of the Covenant was always in the center of the camp of Israel. And the various tribes would pitch around the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was. And their tent doors were all of them faced towards the center of the camp. So the first thing in the morning when they came out the tent flaps, there in the center, they were facing the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. And they were constantly reminded how that God was the center in the heart of the nation. David wanted to bring them back to this consciousness, to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, to place it in a tent where the people again, in coming to Jerusalem, would be reminded of the presence of God among his people. And that's always what the Ark of the Covenant represented, the presence of God among his people. The priest would go in and stand before the Ark of the Covenant to meet God. And they always looked upon it as the symbol of God's presence among his people. David wanted to bring this consciousness to them again, and thus he established there in Jerusalem the Ark of the Covenant. In the meantime, King Hiram had sent down certain skilled carpenters and artisans, and they had built for David a beautiful palace out of cedars from Lebanon. And now David is sitting comfortably in his palace talking to his friend Nathan the prophet, and he said, you know, here I am in this palace of cedars, and the Ark of the Covenant is still in a tent. And Nathan said unto David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. Now, here is the problem that we, all of us, run into at some time or the other. And that is just looking at a concept and saying, great idea, without inquiring of the Lord. It sounds so right, surely God must be in it. And many times we get into trouble because a thing sounds so good that obviously it seems that surely that would be the plan of God. David, yes, do all that's in your heart. God is with you. But he was speaking extemporaneously without praying, without first consulting the Lord. And we can oftentimes get ourselves in a mess just because we follow something that sounds good, but we haven't really sought the guidance of God upon it. Like Joshua, when they came into the promised land and were told not to make any covenant with any people within the land, and the Gibeonites came with their moldy bread and their worn-out sandals and their ragged clothes, and they told of their long journey and how the bread was hot in their hand and the sandals were new on their feet, and through this long journey they came And now they wanted to make a covenant with Joshua. And he took stock of their victuals and inquired not of the Lord and signed this agreement with them. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So Nathan just said, hey, great idea. God's with you, David. Go for it. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan saying, go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord. You shall not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day. But I've gone from tent to tent and from one tent to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedars? In other words, God said, I've never asked that a house be built for me. I've been with Israel, I've dwelt amongst Israel, I've dwelt in tents. And I've never requested or never required that they build a house for me. I wonder what God must think about some of these extremely extravagant, ornamental, plush kind of houses that have supposedly been built for him. He said he was content to stay in a tent. We're not. That's our problem. We like the comfort of a building. We'll just leave it there. So this is what you're to say to David, verse 7. And notice the Lord twice says, my servant. He's going to have to give David some very disappointing news. I imagine David's quite excited at this point. He mentions his desire to his friend Nathan, his spiritual counselor. Nathan says, oh, great, David, do all that's in your heart. God is with you. And now Nathan's going to have to come back to him the next morning with this disappointing news and say, David, you can't do it. God says no. But twice as God gives the message to Nathan to give to David, he says, tell my servant David. David is a servant of God, a great servant of God. There's just certain things that he's not going to be allowed to do. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, I took you from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that you should be the ruler over my people Israel. So God, first of all, was reminding David of his extremely humble beginnings. From following after the sheep, that you might be the ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have walked. And I have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I have made your name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. God is reminding David all that he's done for him. Sometimes I think when God stops us on an enterprise, that we sometimes get the feeling that he doesn't love us. He's not letting us do what we want to do. What a false idea that is. More than not, it's they've not let you do what you want to do because they do love you. I have several little granddaughters who each of them have a finger that they've got me wrapped around. And they know how to work the old game with Grandpa. I have to be extremely careful how I say no to anything they do, even naughty things. For if I'm not extremely careful in how I say no, then they go into a pout. And they said, "You said that meanly. You don't love me." And somehow, whenever anybody stops us from one of our ideas, plans, we somehow feel that they don't love us. And God is assuring David, "Hey, David, I do love you. Remember what I've done for you, David." David's going to receive some very disappointing news, but God breaks it to him in an easy way.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we examine what God is doing for David. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you and cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may you grow up in Him in all things, being strengthened. And may you increase day by day in His richness, in His love, in His grace, in His Word, in Jesus' name.
So there's this guy I know named Jerry Brown, and he was almost a millionaire drug dealer, making and selling dope just to make a buck. He didn't get rich by selling drugs to a couple people. He sold it to a lot. And then Jerry gets saved. Yeah, now instead of selling drugs, he's helping people get off drugs and alcohol and give their lives to Jesus Christ, the permanent solution for any addiction. Read Pastor Jerry Brown's story in his new book, U-Turn for Christ, where grace and repentance meet.
Drugs and alcohol are some of Satan's most lethal weapons to destroy families. Once you read Pastor Jerry Brown's story, you'll want to join him in presenting the gospel to those who are caught in the bondage of addiction. I encourage you to pick up a copy of the book, U-Turn for Christ, where grace and repentance meet.
For more information on how to order a copy of the book, U-Turn for Christ, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online where you can read a preview at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.